Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley, inviting you to open to the radical notion that in your life, whatever you perceive to be in your way is the way. In other words, your challenges, whether they be relationships, compulsions, finances, or illness, come with gifts embedded in them that can bring healing and allow you to experience the joy of being fully alive. Mary is a counselor, awakening mentor, inspirational speaker, and the author of What's in the Way is the Way, The Gift of Our Compulsions, Belonging to Life, and The Magical Forest of Aliveness. What's in Your Way is the Way with Mary O'Malley is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way. And I'm your host, Mary O'Malley. And today we'll be exploring the gift giver called COVID-19. You've got to be kidding me, your mind may be saying. The gift giver? But I want to share something that initially can look very discouraging. But if we approach it in the right way, it can bring forth a healing that we've never even imagined before. Yes, we're in the middle of the most major crisis our country has faced for a long, long time, not only our country, but the world. It shows up with millions of people getting COVID, and their hospitals and their staff are overwhelmed. It's also an economic crisis with people unable to put food on the table or pay their rent or mortgage. The crisis that is embedded in all of this that gets the least attention is the mental health crisis. Mental Health America released its annual report on the state of mental health in the U.S., showing there is a 1.5 million person increase dealing with mental health issues over last year's report. And that is just the people that report their mental health challenges. For all of us, our mental health has been challenged. Our grief is real. There has been so much unknown, so much loss of control, so much loss. And we have been thrust into disease, loneliness, and despair together. In the middle of this pandemic, we are experiencing an epidemic of anxiety and depression, oftentimes fueled by the loneliness and isolation which comes from not being able to gather together with our friends and our families like we used to. Mental health challenges always rise in the face of uncertainty, and we are certainly living in uncertain times. Most of us have lost our rhythm. The time we get up and the time we go to sleep has changed. The weekends can look much like the weekdays. But most importantly, many of us are mourning for the people whose lives were taken by COVID and the lost opportunities, the lost businesses, the lost dreams and hopes. And what about the ability to plan much of anything? How can we take care of ourselves? How can we discover the art of bending and flexing in this time of constant change? Well, let's look at the basics and then get on to the really meaty stuff. first is it's very helpful to see the bigger picture. This isn't going to last forever. Nothing lasts forever. No thought, no breath, no feeling, no experience. I know, really intense states of mind always say they will last forever, but they never do. It can also be very helpful to understand that having our minds unsettled and upset is a normal reaction to how much our lives have been turned upside down. But it is true if what you're experiencing makes it difficult to eat or even impossible to show up for your daily responsibilities, there's a good chance that this is much more than just a stress response to this uncertain time. And it's time to get help. But there's so much we can do for ourselves before we get to that place where we feel immobile, lost, and all alone. It's called taking care of our own well-being. And during this time, it's no longer a luxury. It is a necessity. What is it that you need to gift yourself with? You know what will bring more ease and harmony into your life. Is it exercising more? Oh, that is just such an amazing healer. Movement, actually, let's not call it exercising. Let's call it just moving. You're getting blood and lymph flowing, you know, in our body. Or maybe it's setting aside a quiet and reflective time during the day, or writing in a journal. Maybe it's spending time where you really listen to your loved ones, or find a game that your whole family can play with together. One of the most powerful things you can do is give yourself a few minutes every day where you simply rest in your breath. You know, look up the vagus nerve. This is one of the primary cervical nerves in your body, and it is the key to the fight-or-flight response in your brain. And long, slow out-breaths actually not only massage your vagus nerve, but they send wonderful hormones throughout your whole body that literally calm the flight-or-fright system down. And when we turn on the calming aspect of our nervous system, this is where you can see that all the feelings you are experiencing during this wild and crazy time and the stories that create them are just clouds passing through the vast sky of awareness that you really are. And just like on a cloudy and dreary day, the sun never stops shining. Right outside all the struggles in your mind is the sunshine of the field of ease and peace, which is part of your true nature. If working with your breath during this time is just too much, go for simple things. Light a candle. Just one candle in your house can really calm things down. Put it in a place where you see it a lot as you move throughout your day. Or if a candle doesn't work, go outside. Oh my God, we just have felt so trapped in our homes lately. But even if you're not up to a walk or a run, just step outside. Smell the air. See the sky, which will help you to realize that you are part of a bigger process. And maybe even raise your hands to the sky. Because this time of pandemic is superfood for our struggling minds. Maybe you have a day where you acknowledge everything that's easy in your life. Like you're warm, even though it's cold outside. Or you have a wonderful sound system where you can listen to uplifting and fun music. Or maybe you can see, walk, hear. Think of all the people that can't do that. There is always so much more that is working in our lives than is not, even though the pandemic tries to convince us that this isn't true. With all the loss, the loneliness, the depression, the anxiety that have been generated during this pandemic, there is a healing salve that when we put it on our hurting hearts, it turns our pain into healing. This healing salve is the truth that we are all in this together. Not just your family, your city, your country, but the whole world. We're not alone in this time. If you doubt that, go check out the books of Brandon Stanton. When he was fired from his job, he took a camera and went out on the streets of New York. His initial goal was to photograph 10,000 New Yorkers. But somewhere along the line, he became intrigued. He began to talk with people and write down their stories. These photographs and the stories showed up in a book called The Humans of New York. I think it's Humans of New York, which was an instant success. He then began traveling the world. In his second book, Humans, is a worldwide hit. Even though he was considered a stranger and had to work with the barrier of language in many of the countries, whether he was talking with an addict in Pakistan, a genocide survivor in Rwanda, an Iraqi father who said he would give his soul if he could fix the brain of his disabled daughter, a young woman reeling from the breakup with her fiancé, he was able to connect human to human. His core experience was that far more unites us than separates us. And this was before COVID took over the world. And it is even more true now. There is much more that unites us than separates us. He summed up his experience by saying, the one thing that's indivisible and that everybody feels the same way is pain. If you're looking across the world at somebody in a village in Africa who just lost their mother, and they are expressing that in a very real and authentic way, I don't care how different the details are, the pain is the same. And you can feel it. And you can connect with that person. His work is a chronicle of what is really going on for all of us underneath a surface glance. It reveals the pain, the anxiousness, the self-doubt, and the struggle that we all experience. And COVID has forced this pain to the surface. To be real about our pain is the opposite of everything that we broadcast every day, which is our persona, which actually means mask. I am fine, says the mask. I am together, even though my heart may be breaking, but I'm not going to let you see that. Unable to travel and randomly talk to people like Brandon used to during this time of COVID-19, his work is still touching minds and hearts all around the world. Why? Because we need to hear the truth that connection matters, that we're all in this together, that we're not alone in our pain. To see that you're not alone in your unsettledness, your anxiousness, depression, grief, and that these feelings are a normal response to how much COVID has turned our lives upside down, allows you to actually be with yourself. This is the artist saying hello to your anxiousness or whatever state of mind you are experiencing, rather than falling into it. Or as the beloved Buddhist nun Pema Chodron so beautifully invites us to do, befriend ourselves. This is by far, this befriending our pain, the most nourishing thing you can do in this wild and crazy time. But in order to befriend ourselves, in order to actually be present for ourselves as we ride this wild roller coaster called life, it is essential that we change our relationship with pain. one of the primary reasons we're not present for ourselves is that we all fear all levels of pain, physical pain, emotional pain, and mental pain. In this fear, we have become addicted to the endless struggle of trying to get rid of what we don't like in our lives and go towards what we do. We can see this in our commercials. Oh, if you ate too much, just drink this antacid and you'll be able to ignore the message in your discomfort and overeat again. It is also evident in our religions. Salvation is going to the light and leaving the dark behind. You can see it in our whole response to the aging process, the dramatic increase of plastic surgery, the billions of dollars spent on potions and lotions, and also in our denial of death as we warehouse the elderly and sanitize the dying process. We want one side of life, the pleasant, without the other, the unpleasant, and wonder why we're lost in struggle most all the time. Your mind says, don't respond to the pain in your life. Just go towards the pleasant and the desirable and leave the rest behind. That's our litany. If that doesn't work, we deny, blame, manipulate, absolutely certain that if life is difficult, then something is wrong. This is broadcast from pulpits, from Congress, from our therapists, and especially ourselves. In the belief that there is such a thing as a perfect and together human being, we have maimed, brutalized, and tried to exorcise the weak and imperfect parts of ourselves. We struggle with what we don't like about our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our relationships, our communities, and our world. We are conquerors, addicted to the belief that we can just manage life by ignoring and denying and fixing and getting rid of what we don't like. Then, finally, then, we will know the lasting peace we long for. Well, there's only one great difficulty with that approach, and that is that pain is a thread in the tapestry of life, and it has an essential role in the scheme of things. It is as if we decided that the tide coming in is good and the tide going out is bad, completely ignoring the fact that it wouldn't work if the tide always came in. The land would flood, crops would die, and we'd have wet feet all the time. We fail to see that when the tide goes out, it then gathers up wonderful gifts from the sea, beautiful shells, water-carved logs, rich communities of seaweed, and on its return, it deposits them on the shore. If the tide of our physical, emotional, and spiritual lives always came in, we would be stagnant creatures. Every single time our tide goes out, we are renewed and enriched by all the gifts it brings as it flows back in. Because of our refusal to see the essential nature of darkness, and all the gifts that it brings, we are caught off guard when the tide goes out in our lives, as it's destined to do. And then we look desperately for something or someone, oftentimes ourselves, to blame. Oh, don't trust the ebb and flow of life. Don't listen to the pain and what it is feeding back to you. Just get rid of it, is our credo. We need to learn how to work with our pain in new ways, understanding that it is an integral part of life. We need to learn how to include it rather than exclude it. To awaken our hearts so that we can heal, we need to recognize that each one of us is destined to take on challenges in our lives, get lost in them, and then finally bring them into the light of our compassionate awareness. Or as John Lee said in Writing from the Body, letting the shadow speak its peace is a part of the process that leads us to the good stuff. If we can't let ourselves go deeply into the shadow, we may never reach the place in ourselves where tenderness arises. When he uses the word shadow, I use the word darkness, They mean both the same thing. And it has really, truly been my experience is that when I go into my own darkness, when I bring it into the light of my attention, I have discovered the place where tenderness resides. So freedom comes when we learn how to respond rather than react to the difficult in our lives, whether it's a deeply challenged body, a broken heart, a family member with COVID-19, you with COVID-19, the loss of our beloved business, the fear of being unable to make the rent or mortgage, or a dying friend. We can learn the power of relating to the difficult parts of our life rather than being caught in their web, which happens when we resist them. Or, as Carl Jung once said, enlightenment consists not only in seeing the luminous, but in making darkness visible. The latter is much more difficult, so it's far less popular. As we turn and explore our pain, it can then become an awakener, an ally, even a friend. As Stephen Levine has said, pain sucks, but it grabs our attention. That which is difficult in our life is here to heal us, and it is our job to learn how to pay attention. There's a wonderful poem that my mother sent to me in my early 20s. This was when I was in my second mental hospital and I was sliding into a world of almost complete darkness. And it's called No Other Way. Could we but see the pattern of our days? We should discern how devious were the ways by which we came to this, the present time, this place in life. And we should see the climb our soul has made up through the years. We should forget the hurts, the wanderings, the fears, the wastelands of our life, and know that we could come no other way or grow into our good without these steps our feet found hard to take, our faith found hard to meet. The road of life winds on, and we as travelers go from turn to turn until we come to know the truth that life is endless and that we are forever inhabitants of all eternity. Oh my goodness, you know, we could let go of the hurts, the wanderings, the fears, and even the wastelands of our lives. And know we could come no other way with steps our feet found hard to take and our faith found hard to meet. But she goes on to say that as we travel down this path of life, we will come to know the truth that life is endless and that we are forever inhabitants of all eternity. In other words, that who we are is not just this limited mind-body system that we have thought ourselves to be. Oh, this poem brought a tiny, itty-bitty bit of light into this very dark time. And for the first time, I heard that very faint voice that said maybe all the pain I was experiencing was not a mistake. Maybe my pain didn't mean that I screwed up, they screwed up, or God fell asleep on the job. This tiny itty-bitty bit of light began to open me into the truth that each one of us received our own measure of pain when we took on a body, not for punishment, but because it would be our teacher of awakening, our teacher of discovering that who we are, truly are, is our aware, compassionate heart. Now, this was like, you know, a tiny match in a huge, huge dark cave. And of course, the match wouldn't last very long, you know. But again, this poem would light the match and over again. And then it became a candle. And it took a number of years, but I began to realize there was another way to work with pain, a way that allowed me to be present for my own pain, enough that it opened me into a place that was bigger than struggle itself. And one of the greatest gifts we can give to the world is to move beyond struggling with our pain into being able to meet it with great curiosity and tender heart. To open to this possibility, we need to explore the very novel idea that pain is not a mistake. Agnes Whistling Elk, a Native American shaman from Manitoba, spoke this truth in a most eloquent way. If you look at something carefully, you will always be able to see its dark side. And yet we choose never to look into the shadows. Understand that it is what you choose not to observe in your life that controls your life. Everything begins with a circle of motion. Without the positive and negative poles, there would be no movement, there would be no creation. Without the dark side, your beauty would not exist. Don't be afraid to look at both sides. You need them both. Honor all as a part of the Great Spirit. Oh my God, this was just like the poem that my mom had sent me. Again, you know, this was a big candle, you know, in that dark, dark cave. And I really heard her when she said, most of us don't look into the dark. We never want to look into the shadows. That's what I had done. That's why my life became darker and darker and smaller and more contracted until I didn't want to live anymore. And when she said, understand that what you choose not to observe in your life controls your life, oh my God, it took me forever to finally get that. If I was running away from fear, fear controlled me. If I was running away from despair or loneliness or anger or you name it, it would control me. But when I heard her say, everything begins with a circle of motion and with the positive and negative poles, without them there would be no movement, there would be no creation, that I needed both. Without my dark side, my beauty would not exist. I can just feel that feeling that began to move through me. Oh my God, I was not the most screwed up human being in the world. I just carried a lot of darkness. And I began to see that just like manure, you know, is smelly and icky and all that. But if you dig it into the garden, it grows beautiful flowers. I began to see that I could begin to compost my pain. Oh, and everywhere we look, we see the truth of Agnes's work. You know, it shows up in the yin and yang symbol. It shows up in the heart of an atom, which is a combination of positive and negative charges. It's evident in the acid-alkaline balance in your body and in the fact that opposites of male and female are necessary in the procreation of complex life forms. It's also noticeable in the violence of nature. Mountain ranges are born when two tectonic plates collide, and new forests are brought forth after lightning fires. The importance of the negative or dark aspect of life also shows up inside of us. We need our pain, our imperfections. We need our failures. If that's not a novel concept, I don't know what is. But we would not be who we are without them. The author Thomas More invites us into this spacious relationship with that which disturbs us when he says, this requirement that we have to be perfect, that we have to get ourselves emotionally right, is such a burden. The more we try, the worse it gets. And so we try one type of therapy after another, and it's pretty defeating. You see, soul really thrives in failure and in perfection. Jung said that soul moves at the weak point, where the personality is thin, where things are not secure and stable. That's where soul has an entry. We need these vulnerable points. Oh, what a relief. We need these vulnerable points on every level, in every experience, and in every single being's existence. The dance of life is a dance of dark and light. Darkness is rich and necessary. It's the place of fertility and creativity. Half the earth is always bathed in the dark of night. And out of black, moist dirt comes astounding creativity. Seeds, including us, incubated away from the light. And plants do a lot of their growth work in the dead of night. The same is true for our emotional and spiritual lives. Each one of us was given a pair of opposites, a desire to awaken and great resistance, vast courage and deep fear, self-judgment and an awakening heart. The opposites are our teachers. In a way, the dance of our lives is about cooking the opposites until they blend into the rich soup of our potential. If there's nothing that this past year has taught us except that none of us has the power to keep pain from our lives, and that each one of us will continue to be taught by challenges until our last breath. From a limited perspective, walling ourselves off from pain looks like a really good idea. We resist, deny, then fight with it with all our might when it breaches our barricades. But a wall is a wall. It may serve to keep our darkness at bay for short periods of time, but it also walls us off from life. Oh my God, that was the first 30 years of my life. I was completely walled off, and I could barely take a breath. But then I began to realize the depth in which we refuse to be aware of our pain is the depth to which we are separate from life. The radical notion of not fighting our pain is the doorway to freedom. My body has been a great teacher in this, for it's taught me the healing power of inclusion. I was born with a very sensitive body, and the older it became, the more strongly it reacted to the slightest imbalance. And for my life before awakening, and even for a while into awakening, I tried to manage and bargain and plead with life for a surcease from this discomfort, because my body wasn't a comfortable place to live in. For varying periods of time, this would make a difference, but then the symptoms would come back with a vengeance. For a long time before my awakening, I swung on the pendulum of victor and victim. I would go to doctors and read books on healing techniques. My mind would be in full gear, trying to figure out how to get rid of these unpleasant experiences. I would do affirmations and bargain with God, and then when this didn't bring about the healing I wanted, I would fall into the victim mode, dabbling in the land of despair. I was caught in struggle. For years, I moved back and forth between victor and victim, holding on for dear life, absolutely certain if I could just nail this pendulum to the wall, then everything would be okay. Rarely, rarely, if ever, did I stop and listen to my pain. A voice inside me said that I must not feel the depth of what was going on, for it would engulf me into an endless black hole. It was like all those years sliding down a slippery slope, trying to hold on to every branch and rock I could get my hands on. I was lucky enough to be unable to find any permanent handholds and to be wrenched out of my ability to manage the process anymore. And when the depth of discomfort in my body, along with the terror, the rage, and the despair that goes along with that, got deep enough, I was finally forced to begin to relate directly to what I was experiencing. Another poem from my mother that she sent me was it helped immensely during this time, reminding me that pain, rather than being something to resist, was something to be curious about. Pain stayed with me so long, I said to him today, I will not have you with me anymore. I stamped my foot and said, be on your way. And paused there, startled at the look he wore. I who have been your best friend, he said to me, I who have been your teacher, of all you know of understanding, love, of sympathy and patience, I have taught you. Shall I go? He spoke the truth, this strange and unwelcome guest. I watched him leave and knew that he was wise. He left a heart grown tender in my breast. He left a far clearer vision in my eyes. I dried my tears and lifted up a song, even for one who had tortured me for so long. And I want to read that again because, God, this was just such a healing balm for me. I think it's a healing balm for all of us because here's the yin and yang symbol, one of the most important symbols that humanity knows. And the dark and light are not on opposite sides of a line. They are not fighting with one another. They are actually nestled together. And even more importantly, in the light is a point of dark. And in the dark is a point of light. So I want to read the poem again because it's such an important message for all of us. Pain stayed with me so long, I said to him today, I will not have you with me anymore. I stamped my foot and said, be on your way, and paused there, startled at the look he wore. I, who have been your friend, he said to me, I, who have been your teacher, of all you know of understanding, of love, of sympathy and patience, I have taught you. Shall I go? He spoke the truth, this strange and unwelcome guest. I watched him leave and knew that he was wise. He left a heart grow tender in my breast. He left a far clearer vision in my eyes. I dried my tears and lifted up a song, even for one who tortured me so long. And I've never been able to find the author of that poem, so if anybody knows, please let me know. And I think what I will ask Deborah to do is, in the couple of weeks that this is airing on Dream Visions, that I will have her put these poems on Facebook. Because they're just, they're better than chocolate. So yes, my pain had tortured me for so long. But now, I was learning how to listen. a statement from Stephen Levine, my main teacher, who wrote many, many books on death and dying and had the Hanuman Death and Dying Project, a phone line in his house. You know, you could call for years. You could call 24 hours a day if you were dying or a loved one was dying or your child was, you know, killed. And you could call, and he would talk with you, or he or his wife, Andrea. And this is one of my favorite quotes from him. Discomfort is a drill probing through our armoring and denial, reaching the deep reservoirs of long-held isolations and fears. The tip of the drill is honed by helplessness and hopelessness, the inability to control the uncontrollable. So, wow, that's a mantra for our time, because we really can see, we have very little control of life, but it is really highlighted during this COVID-19 time. And I want to read this quote again because it's just so powerful. Discomfort, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual discomfort, it's a drill probing through our armoring and our denial, reaching the deep reservoirs of long-held isolations and fears. All that stuff we have stuffed deep inside of us because we didn't know how to deal with it when we were young. The tip of the drill is honed by helplessness and hopelessness, the inability to control the uncontrollable. So he is basically saying even helplessness and hopelessness is a place where great and wondrous growth can happen. So as I finally learned how to actually welcome the experience of feeling unwell, it would float away like clouds before the warmth of the sun. I discovered that most of my physical upset came from my fear and contraction around these feelings. For the first few years, these uncomfortable feelings, have now returned. And I only found out about a month ago that this was because I have a rare form of blood cancer. And oh my God, at the first, my mind rebelled. Not this again. Oh, but pretty quickly I realized that these feelings of the mild form of the flu and the ache and the tummy upset and the deep fatigue. I realized these were the core teachers of my life. And thank God I now have the ability to respond rather than react, to open rather than close, to relax rather than tighten, and to be curious rather than to be lost in struggle. So maybe, just maybe, this time of COVID-19 is really our time of steep and deep learning, a learning how to respond to our pain rather than react, so that pain doesn't cause us to contract, cutting us off from the joy of being alive. It's so wonderful. I'm not saying that I am spacious a lot of the time, because this is very uncomfortable. And also, I was in a head-on auto accident in my early 20s, and I just have had a lot I've dealt with, and I don't know whether I'm on a really heavy-duty medication for this cancer, and I don't know whether that's what's causing it, but the pain from my back that's going down my leg, which it has just gotten very, very intense, and I have been for the last couple of years now finally walking, doing my daily walk after a couple of surgeries, on my back, and now that walking is becoming more and more limited. And so all of this, the from the cancer and from the leg. It's just superfood, just superfood for the struggling mind. But I'm so alert to that because when my attention gets caught in my mind, I tighten. My body tightens, my heart tightens, my emotions tighten, my mind tightens, and it cuts me off. And sometimes on some days, all I can do is just notice the tightening and maybe come back for a few long, slow, deep out-breaths and just recognize I'm part of something greater until the next wave of discomfort comes. It's a very intense time, but guess what? We're all going to experience intense times like this. And, you know, whether it's during COVID or at the end of your life. And so as I've learned how to respond to my pain, it doesn't cause me to contract for as long as I used to. I know that it may sound strange, but I've discovered that the cancer, even though there's a lot of unpleasantness going on, I can still have access to the joy of being alive. Oh, thank God for the skills of awakening and for all the skills I learned from Stephen Levine that learned it from, you know, tens of thousands of people that were very ill and or dying. And that was when people had the most choice with Stephen's help about whether they were going to react or respond. And so I would like to share with you another poem that has deeply touched me over the years and speaks directly to what we are all going through in this, you know, very unsettled time, and it's by Rashani Rea, and oh my God, this is just such a wonderful poem, so much so I wrote her and got her permission to put it in my first book, Belonging to Life, The Unbroken. There is a brokenness out of which comes the unbroken, a shatteredness out of which blooms the unshatterable. There is a sorrow beyond all grief, which leads to joy, and a fragility out of whose depths emerges strength. There is a hollow space, too vast for words, through which we pass with each loss, out of whose darkness we are sanctioned into being. There is a cry deeper than all sound, whose serrated edges cut the heart as we break open to the place inside which is unbreakable and whole while learning to sing. And so again, because there is so much truth in this poem. There is a brokenness out of which comes the unbroken, a shatteredness out of which blooms the unshatterable. There is a sorrow beyond all grief, beyond all grief, which leads to joy, and a fragility out of whose depths emerges strength. There is a hollow space too vast for words, through which we pass with each loss, out of whose darkness we are sanctioned into being. There is a cry deeper than all sound, whose serrated edges cut the heart, as we break open to the place inside which is unbreakable and whole while learning to sing. And it just brings tears as I share that with you. As we are broken open by life, by all of our challenges, to the place inside which is unbreakable. That is true for every single human being, especially if you don't believe it. As we break open to the place inside which is unbreakable and whole, while learning to sing. While learning to sing, just imagine your heart just singing for the pure joy of that. To me, we are going through a birthing time, and we are experiencing great birth contractions, not because something bad is happening, and yes, it is horrible on many levels, but just like birth is messy and bloody and painful, out comes a child. And that is the place, the unbreakable and whole place inside of you that knows how to sing. So know that I know that even though this year may have been very, very difficult, that there may have been a lot of brokenness or shatteredness or grief, or a hollow space, this is a part of your coming home. Wow. The shift of perception that's being asked of us as a whole begins with individuals transforming their relationship with the challenges of their lives. Most people are lost inside their own personal war. So, of course, collectively, then humanity uses war, trying to get rid of what we don't like, as a solution to its problems. The challenges that we face on this planet are too great to meet with war anymore, both inside of ourselves and with others. We are in the no man's land between the old and the new. The old style meets our problems at the same level that they were created in, only creates more problems. The new style says our challenges haven't gotten so complex because we've done something wrong or because life is out to get us. The very complexity of this crisis is a gift, forcing us out of the old style and into this new. The new style says, pay attention, trust, work with what is, rather than always trying to make your life be different. And slowly, ever so slowly, bring all the parts of you back home to your heart. To bring curiosity and compassion to whatever is happening right now is the movement out of separation and into an immediate, nourishing, heart-opening connection with life, and into you becoming a healing force in the world. Every person who has learned to include rather than struggle with the opposites of dark and light in their lives, holds the transformation of life in their hearts. And we may surprise and delight ourselves with discovering that strength and courage are always, always with us. Let us walk together in this deep darkness, so that we learn that we can see in the dark. We can not only light a match and then a candle, but we can take the deepest, biggest of spotlights into the cave of everything that we have resisted and rejected inside of us, so that we can recognize that we are part of a greater, sacred, interconnected whole, and that we have never been, nor ever will be alone. So may we know that pain is an essential thread in the tapestry of life. May each one of us discover the courage and the compassion to meet our pain. And as more and more people discover how to be with themselves rather than turn away, may we see the world healing at its core. Thank you for listening. Namaste.
Motherhood is not easy. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world. Yet mothers receive so little support, even in spiritual communities where motherhood is often more valued.
What if you could always feel capable of handling the rigors and demands of being a mother in today's world?
What if you could let go of feeling like you're alone and don't have support?
What if you could let go of your fears that you're going to get it all wrong, make a mistake, or raise your child that repeats all the mistakes that you've experienced?
Experience the mothering movement and open your heart to mothering and being mothered in a way that allows acceptance, forgiveness, and vision for the future. Go to 1111mag.com and join the Mothering Movement course.
Thank you for listening to this edition of What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley. You can access Mary's offerings on her websites, maryomalley.com and whatsintheway.com. Join Mary next time to experience the peace and joy that is always with you on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.